Be warned that even the forgiveness of the guilt of sin will not remove the certainty of the consequences of sin. Have you heard about the person who sowed his wild oats and then prayed for a crop failure? I'm sure there are many people who would like to have all of the sin without any of the consequences, but God does not work according to that method. He warns, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, if you'd like to see a graphic example of that principle expressed in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. David, king of Israel, had committed a grievous double sin. He had committed adultery with a married woman and then secured the death of her husband that he might marry her and cover up the conception of a child from the adulterous affair. It seemed to have all worked out as he had planned. After the death of the husband, the wife went through the traditional period of mourning, and then she became the wife of David. After months of anxiety, David thought the matter was well in hand and he was safe in his sin. But nothing is ever settled until it is settled right. And nothing is ever settled right until God says it is settled. And God never says that sin is dealt with properly until it has been either forgiven or punished. So David still had to face God with his sins. God sent the prophet Nathan to tell David, "You are the man whom God held guilty for that double sin, each of which carried the death penalty." And David responded with a deep and sincere repentance expressed in Psalm 51. He confessed to God that he had sinned and asked God's forgiveness and cleansing. God heard him and granted forgiveness to him. So David testified in Psalm 32, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and mine iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Now, notice the action involved in that matter. God's commission caused Nathan to confront David. Nathan's confrontation led to David's repentance. And David's repentance brought God's forgiveness. Well, it's all over now, isn't it? No, it is not all over. There are far-reaching consequences to David's sin which must be dealt with yet. Now, hear this word from God spoken to David through the prophet Nathan. "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die. Howbeit, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child that is born to you shall surely die. More than that," God warned, "the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me." How can that be explained if David truly received the forgiveness of God? Well, note this truth very carefully. God had forgiven the guilt of David's sin, but he had not removed the consequences of David's sin. Do you see the principle? God will remove the guilt of sin without removing the consequences of sin. I remember a Sunday morning when I had preached and made an appeal for sinners to bring their guilt to the Lord for His forgiveness. A young man came down the aisle of the church weeping aloud. He came where I stood, took me by the hand, and dropped to his knees before the Lord. When he controlled himself enough to talk, he told me his problem. He had a problem with beverage alcohol. He had received traffic citations for driving while intoxicated. The night before, he had received yet another such citation. He was required to appear in court. He said, "It is very likely I will lose my license to drive. If so, I will lose my job. We have just bought our first house. If I lose my job, I will likely lose my house. What can I do?" I spoke first about forgiveness of sin. He called on the Lord and was forgiven fully and freely. But when he appeared in traffic court, he did lose his license to drive. Now hear this word. The forgiveness of the guilt of sin does not remove the consequences of sin. That's what the Bible means when it says, Whatever a person sows, that is just what he will reap. Here's a person who yields to the sin of anger. One day, in a fit of anger, he beats his wife so that she loses the sight in one eye. Oh, how he apologizes afterwards. He begs her forgiveness, and she forgives him fully and freely. Now, does that restore the sight in her eye? No. There is a distinction between receiving forgiveness for the guilt of sin and removing consequences for the act of sin. David experienced it. Look at what happened to him after God had forgiven his double sin of adultery and murder. The child that was born to Bathsheba died. Oh, how David prayed for that child to be spared, neither eating or sleeping, while he begged for the life of the child. But the child died, as God had forewarned. One of David's sons raped his half-sister. Her full brother afterwards murdered the half-brother who had violated her. He was, in turn, exiled from his homeland and his family. Oh, how David suffered through his children for the sin he had committed. One of David's sons led a political rebellion against his father, almost taking the throne from him. And he won the affection of the people from David so that David never had their love afterwards as he had had it before. In a battle over the right to David's throne, that son was killed. As a broken-hearted father, David cried, "Would God I had died for you, O my son." It was more of the consequences of sin. There came a 3-year famine. Pestilence plagued the land. David's son Adonijah plotted against his son Absalom as to which would follow the king to the throne upon the death of David. Poor David, if only you had known that sin's harvest is always bitter, perhaps you would have resisted the temptation. Now, God's penalty follows upon sexual immorality today. There's the problem of an unwanted pregnancy. There's the agony of internal guilt, whether it is shown outwardly or not. There's the fear of the offense becoming known. There's the possibility of infection by a sexually transmitted disease. There's the danger that one will never adjust to the partner in marriage afterwards. Listen, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Even the forgiveness of the guilt of sin will not remove the certainty of the consequences of sin. Therefore, I counsel you that in recovering from the sin of a sexual affair, which God calls adultery, be prepared to endure the consequences without bitterness or rebellion. You could say that God is not fair to let consequences come after the guilt is forgiven, but God is fair. We know that consequences follow actions. When guilt is forgiven, you will have peace with God, and He will strengthen you to face the consequences which come. I give you warning concerning the consequences of sin, but I must close with an assurance of the forgiveness of sin. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you will come, He will give." Trust Him, try Him, and you will find Him faithful. Father, I remember that in spite of David's sin and your discipline, he was afterwards called a man after God's own heart. Oh, how that encourages us to know that we can be dear children of God in spite of our sins. So we do repent, and we ask that you'll keep us pure that we can reflect the grace of our Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen.